There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Like, oh, the last little bits of torpoo that finally came out of me today.
Good.
Because it always takes like a couple of days.
Sure.
I think maybe it's just that it's getting the Sacramento like out.
Indeed.
The Sacramento comes out of you, you know. Wow, a lot of people had a lot of choice words for the governor.
Yes, they did. We
they
had a
really
great
did.
Time in Sacramento.
Oh, and not even, we didn't even ask.
No.
What everyone's opinions were of the governor. And we didn't even bring up the governor. A lot of people were yelling about it and very, very upset. But I tell you what lovely audience. What a lovely audience there.
In Sacramento, in all three places, OKC, Salt Lake City, and Sacramento. Thank you all for being so wonderful.
Yeah.
As we hit the road for our Mamma Mia, here we go
here
again
we go
tour.
Again.
2021. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. We had a wonderful time with you all this weekend. We can't wait to see more of you next weekend. Oh my God, the travels continue and the road goes on forever.
It does. The road doesn't ever stop, because if it did, then the cars would stop. Would they go into the ocean?
Perhaps.
And that's actually very scary. We have a lot of good news today.
We
I don't know what's in the air.
Stuff.
That's the one thing I like about the way that we get to do Side Stories, is that there really is peaks and valleys.
Ups and downs.
Of how fucked up our country is. And it is really interesting, because we've had slow weeks in this last couple of
sure.
weeks. It's like, I guess things are back to normal. But
and
they're
don't
not.
Don't forget, Henry, this show is international. The whole world is fucked up, not just America. That's one thing we can all bond over, is how messed up everything is all around us. All right. Well, the first story, speaking of cars, I want to talk about this, Henry, because, you know,
there's no such thing as a free lunch.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, unless, of course, you are working as an extra on a TV set that your friend is starring in, and they say, okay, Ben, you can go have sandwiches. And I say, thank you so much for having me on your show.
You.
Even though you cut my lines out of the Netflix special, Mr. Zabrowski.
Hey, you're still in it physically. So if Netflix did play residuals, which they don't.
No.
Because they're cheap fucks.
Yeah.
And they're also, they're part of the reason why we're headed towards an IATSE strike, which we're completely behind. We really hope they strike, because
that's
those
a
fuckers,
union.
Yeah, they won't pay. They won't pay out, even though they have billions and billions of dollars. But yeah, I'd say that's the most free lunch.
All right. So these people, they were walking around Copa County, Mississippi, and they saw a car that literally said the words free car on it. Now,
that's
obviously,
a trap. That's obviously a trap.
I don't know you say that, Mr. Zabrowski. Let's say we're in Sacramento. We've had our Bud Lights and multiple whiskeys, and we went on to tequila. We're walking down the street. It's 2 o'clock.
You're just talking
in the morning.
About our reality. You're saying
exactly,
that what we did.
Except for the fact we did not see a car that had the sign that said free car on it. Had we seen that, we would currently be joyriding all around places like Montana.
Wait a second.
And a series
of
other mountain-like areas.
You definitely know that there's no such thing as a free car in Sacramento, because first of all, do you remember we met that man right as we were about to leave, who said that he just straight up told us he was a drug dealer, which is also not good. This is another sign. And then he followed us out to the Uber, and he was trying to make some sort of business deal at us, even though
right.
we're like, we're leaving. But then, Kissel, in that very spirit, you bribe the Uber man to drive you straight to L.A.,
Yeah,
from Sacramento. You just gave him money. Because you
paid
do the hard
Uber
press.
Man.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, you bribed him. And that is payment.
It's called payment, yes.
But definitely, you did good. Because you
bribing
kind of did
is
it.
More like something where it's like, I'll suck your dick if you bring me to L.A. I think that's more bribing. I called his boss and I said, I have some money for your employee. Let's go to L.A., baby.
I wish I had the audio of that call of you, because you were being very, the way you did the hard press on that driver was really interesting, because it was more just being like, come on.
Hey.
Like, it's like, sir, please, I must, this is for my boss. I would have to call my boss. You're like, you and me,
On the road. Think about it. Think about how much fun we'd have on
the
road.
We did have fun. We did
but
have
no,
fun.
But no, I'm talking about the Uber driver, because I was like, I just need to go to sleep. I had to sleep.
No, you the Uber driver, he really needed to rest as well. As a matter of fact, when we got back to LA, I put him in an air. I didn't realize you could do day hotel rooms. So I got him a hotel room from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. so he can get some nap, and then he can
you
go back to
you put him in
celebrate.
A hotel room?
I had to take care of the man. He drove me all the way from Sacramento to LA at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Whoa, you are very generous. Did you have sex with this man?
No.
No.
That was the opposite of our story, because I paid good money for that car ride as opposed to what happened here in Mississippi. So two fellas, they were walking by and they saw this car that said free car. And they got in it and the keys were inside of the car. So they were like, bazinga.
We did it.
What
is the name of that? Is it called a trap car? Would they do this? Would they have
do
stings?
I think they're called bait cars because there's entire shows based on it. One called bait car, which really, I'm sorry. Sometimes it takes the you complete the circuit.
If you leave your
car on with the car door open and you're like, someone steal my car. I don't think it's the perpetrator's fault in that case, because it would be stupid if you're a car thief to not steal that car.
It's true. It's also because, honestly, these are desperate times. And
people
are really fucked up monetarily. So I really think that at some point you are playing upon the most desperate of people who just hope that this is some sign that their ship has come in. But more often than not, it is a cruel cop joke.
It really is. In this case, these people, they were not found guilty of stealing a car because, again, it did say free car. Most bait cars don't explicitly say free car.
That's however, where they get you.
Like everything free, it comes with a curse. They open up the trunk to see, maybe let's put some Bud Lights in the trunk. Unfortunately, like the movie Dirty Work, there's a corpse in the trunk. It was a body of a 34-year-old man named Anthony McCrillis. They have no idea how the body got there. Evidently, it's been there for several days. And believe it or not, Henry, I know this is going to be shocking. It was all nude. There was no clothes. So they opened up a trunk. They saw maybe a six-day-old body, butt-ass naked.
Nude corpse.
And at this point, you say, I'm keeping the car, but I am definitely getting it cleaned.
I do feel like I would have that interior debate. If I went to go take a car that said free car and you have a nude corpse in there,
sure.
There'd be a second where you and your partner would look at each other, I imagine, just being like, well, we've already taken this free car.
Right.
If we just buy some shampoo.
Got to.
Get some gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe leave this man back where we found it.
Sure.
Then call the cops, because then you could do a ruse. You could be like, we were coming down the street.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this guy on the side of the road. Will you come and pick him up? Because now you're implicated in this crime. But also, when they killed this dude and put him in the back of this car, I guess in the most simplified way possible, it's smart, right? It's kind of an interesting move, even though it feels like you'll also get repercussions for that as well.
But now, of course, the people who killed this person, I don't know if they have been identified yet. The only reason they could identify the victim is
because it's suicide.
Well, perhaps it could be, although how would he get himself in there? And also, let's not forget, they identified the victim through his tattoos. But let's not forget the odor, right? So you have a new car,
yes,
or a free car. It ain't new, but it's free. So isn't that better than new?
You just assume it's a raccoon caught up in the trance.
Could be. I mean, what did we learn from Casey Anthony? She said a rotting corpse smelled like a
squirrel in the muffler. Yeah.
Right. Even though that's a whole nother game that we like to play, squirrel in the muffler. That's, again, how I got to Los Angeles. We played a little squirrel in the muffler, and believe it or not, I was the squirrel. Okay.
And again, that's not a bribe. That's work experience.
Exactly correct. So we know the odor. So this, we're talking, let's say, 4 to 5 days old of a body.
Yeah.
Henry, we're talking viscous liquids all over the trunk of this car.
Very
they
much
drove
so. And
this
is
car.
In, oh, this is Mississippi,
this
too.
Is in
so
Mississippi.
Whatever this person was eating beforehand also probably wasn't very good.
They drove this car for 30 miles before they opened up the trunk. How on earth could you stand, like, Henry, did you smell anything, like, bro? Like, the car kind of, like, do you have, like, a bad pizza or something earlier?
Kissel?
Are you farting?
That's called, new car smell? That's free car smell. where it just rides with you. I would assume. Just being like, this is the price. The price is, it smells like a rotting corpse. But what I'm going to do, though, is take some of my curious elements, turn them down, so that I don't go looking for the smell, because I've already decided that all of this is fine, that all of this isn't on the up and up.
It's got that beautiful free car smell. As a matter of fact, on our merch page, we need to have little naked corpses that you can dangle from your rear view mirror as air fresheners. We'll make it smell like a dead body. It'll be a gag joke.
The free car smell. I think it's fun.
It's the free car smell. I absolutely love it. So he was identified through his tattoos and confirmed through his immediate family of his identity. According to a David Arrington, he is the Barham police chief. So you know this is a busy day for Barham. Not a lot happens there.
Byram.
He said the victim's vehicle was seen in Byram, Copa County, and Jackson over the last few days, and they have not yet determined if a crime even took place. Going to your point, Henry,
what?
Perhaps he just crawled in the back of his car and died like a
I don't know, man.
Like a sad pope? That's such a shitty way for someone to commit suicide. Get butt ass naked, fold yourself up like luggage in the trunk of your car and die. Well, it seems like someone else may have played a part in it, but I don't know.
You know what I'm sniffing here besides the corpse? I'm smelling a cop that just wants this to be over. Because why would you think that this is suicide? This is like the Elisa Lam thing. The Elisa Lam thing, though, which was really both, it was haunting because it definitely did sound like she did commit suicide, and that was very fucked up, and that might have made, I guess, maybe somebody, but you can in a moment,
but you know what happened
duress,
with that though, right? Because what? Didn't they end up saying that indeed the lid was off of the water tower, which completely takes away
through
the entire story
thing.
So
yes,
oh, I hate the lies.
Yes. So who knows? I feel like to get into the back of a trunk of a car with the lid closed would be really difficult. Because also, it's not like, you know, like dogs and cats, they say have a sense that they're going to die. And so a lot of times they'll isolate themselves. Yeah. Like how, like I've heard these stories about like a dog will like crawl under our house and die. Like it will go away from everybody and die. And like, but I've never heard that with people.
No, oftentimes people strap things to their chest and run into crowds of people when they want to die.
Or go like, die! I hated the new Ghostbusters!
Whoa!
Bam! Bam!
Wow, what a horrible final sentence. So this car was spotted multiple times. It was spotted at 9:30 on Saturday morning. This is according to Arrington again. This is the man who is staying up late at night trying to solve this crime. He's chewing on his cigars. He is stressed out. He's not even talking to his wife right now. He said, it stayed there all day for as long as about 6 p.m. Saturday night, it was still seen by another employee at a junkyard. And then the manager of Stars Auto Sales, they said that it had seen the car multiple times on Saturday, but it had not seen him anymore on Sunday. So apparently this guy was zip-zapping, joyriding around. That's according to Dan Peacock. No affiliation with the horrible network that, yeah, we are trying to sell a show to, but that did ruin WWE, so I have my issues. But he said, I never stopped and looked or anything, but I knew it was kind of unusual. He says, I figured somebody was driving down here to sell it. We buy a bunch of cars. I figured someone was driving down to sell it, and it quit on them or something. Just never dawned on me that something like that went on.
I mean, this is why these types of things can only happen in Mississippi.
That's why Mississippi is still a place of unabashed freedom, is it not? Unlike Australia.
You would say that. You'd say that. I would say that Mississippi, the reading levels are low.
Who needs to read? They're audiovisual learners. Oh, my God. You West Coast elitist.
Hello. I am also an audiovisual learner, but this is not one of those moments that expresses the wisdom of Mississippians.
He saw the car zooming back and forth, and then he's like, we get a lot of junk
that
cars.
That the car would just be left on the side of the road.
It's Mississippi.
Sure. It just doesn't... It doesn't matter because it'll negate it because there was a nude corpse in it.
Well, according
to all the story, all of this is thrown out. All of these theories are dumb because of this.
According to Mr. Peacock, perhaps related to Mrs. Peacock from Clue, he said, I wish I would have looked into it further. I might have been able to help them a little bit.
But it's almost like I didn't want to. You know, it's almost like, in a way, I just was comfortable
blinders.
Not investigating it.
You know how the horse stays focused, Blinders. So he says, because he didn't look into it, he says, but I just never stopped and looked at it. If I had stopped and looked at it, I would have probably tripped. I would have probably flipped out if I would have stopped and seen something like that. So anyway, they go on to say, they do know that the victim was alive at 9 p.m. on Friday night because he was seen on a home surveillance video camera. Again,
was it his car?
Just driving. Yes, it was his car.
No, he got shot. There's no, he died. Something happened. They poisoned him. They're going to have to do a full autopsy on
that.
They will.
Body. The autopsy has not been done yet, but they said there was no signs of obvious trauma. And obviously, now the next step is to figure out how this man got naked, went into his trunk, and died for multiple days. Also, to your point, Henry, you are correct. Usually, if people see, well, that's not necessarily true. There could be corpses in every single car that I pass on Chandler Avenue.
I assume
Avenue.
There is.
There
I,
could
I
be.
Because
the cars
is.
Don't move. So I can't, you know, I don't. I would assume no, but it's possible.
I just find it interesting that I guess this guy, if he did do this all on his own, is like the Jamie Kennedy of suicides, where it's all about like, it's pranks, but it has a message. Like, why is he, what is he trying to do?
What was the Jamie Kennedy message exactly?
Just how much we all loved him. It was him stressing how much America could like him.
Oh my God. The only thing I remember about Jamie Kennedy, and I'm not throwing dirt on anybody.
No, I'm fine with you. I like Jamie Kennedy.
No problem. Yeah. But he did a documentary where he went and he confronted his internet trolls. But the thing is, the internet troll was literally just, he just called him not funny. And then the internet troll was like, yeah, man, I just don't think you're very funny. And then he said it to Jamie's face and the whole thing was brutal. And I was like, oh, sometimes a troll has a point.
Yeah, sometimes, and you know, it's okay if somebody just doesn't like you. People it's just fine. Like me every day.
Humor is very subjective. You might think we're the two least funny human beings on earth, which is technically inaccurate, but who cares?
Who cares? Fernando, our beloved employee, doesn't like Chris Farley.
He doesn't like Chris Farley, but you know who he does like, and we'll talk about this on Abling and Stop At, Samantha Bee.
Wow.
So again.
See?
And I'm looking at Fernando right now. He's shaking his head. He's upset that we brought that up, and Fernando, I officially apologize.
I'm just saying.
Because he does not have a microphone to rebuff anything, but those are two facts.
Those are two facts. But it's fine, though, but it shows, again, comedy is subjective.
Subjective. All right. Well, one thing that is not subjective is that man is certainly dead. And we'll follow up. Well, probably we'll never hear from that story again.
I probably not because I don't know. But I mean, I am interested to see how it plays out because I want to see how he died. Because I don't know how he doesn't get into that trunk without foul play.
Live from your grave.
We have an update that I just want to talk about real quick. Jonah Barrett-Lesko. That was, he was made news first. I guess he had sexual intercourse with a horse. We talked about this and he was arrested for this several weeks ago.
This is the time that you choose to be the most conservative in your linguistics when it comes to talking about sex.
Allegedly.
Sexual intercourse with a horse. You say allegedly. Fuck, you say fucking get your poker in. Like you say a lot of other terms for sex, but in this case.
He had an intimate encounter with a farm-based feline. I forget what the name of a cow. Was it equine? I forget what you say that about a horse.
Equestrian. Of a horse, yes.
He's a horse fucker.
Yes,
he
there
went
you go.
On a 26-minute chase before his sentencing. He broke away from the cops for 26 minutes.
Which
he
is always
funny. He jumped into
funny.
A river. They have photos of him. His fucking the looks on his face and just like please just let me go, please, I gotta go, man, you know it's bad for me, man, because they just saw him running. Apparently law enforcement first learned of this escape. This is from the Durango Herald. At 1:25 p.m. when someone reported seeing a man in a jail issued jumpsuit in a male issued jumpsuit running near Office Depot.
Oh my goodness. Isn't Office Depot a similar color, that similar orange color? He could have just taken off
blended
the top, blended right into the Office Depot people. He could have worked in the flower section for years.
You'd be really surprised how little attention you can get inside of an Office Depot if you just go by the computer tables that they have in there for furniture from 1997 that you'd go and sit at, right? And you'd just be like, oh, this is a good one. Good for the family.
Yeah.
But yeah, what they saw is that he removed the jumpsuit and they said apparently that's where he was really starting to get attention because apparently a man running in whitey tighties next to a river seems to really call a lot of attention. He's got a bit of a swoopy haircut, you can see right here.
He does.
And they saw him running around the river, I guess trying to, I guess he'd swim to freedom.
Well, according to this picture, it's not a very deep river. He is definitely in his tidy whities there. I mean, they're sort of your boxer briefs. He does have very nice long hair. Actually kind of looks like a horse's mane. Interestingly enough, he was in the Animas River. So that's sort of one L away from what he liked to fuck, which is animals. And I think that he really thought he was going to be able to get away because he stripped down. I have to give this cop some credit because the cop that's in the river that's about to tackle him and probably beat the living shit out of him, fully clothed, still has his utility belt on like a dumpy Batman.
He technically did his job and he would have drowned. And so this is the thing, is that they said apparently the biggest crime he was up for was the felony burglary and possession of burglary tools, because he had to break in to the pen to fuck the horse, right?
Wait a second. And hold on a second. Wait.
The initial because essentially, from what it's sounding here, he just molested the horse.
What does that mean? That's
a misdemeanor.
Holy shit. Okay,
it
wait.
It sounds
so
like
levels,
when they saw him.
There are levels of horse fuckery?
First base, second base, and third base of bestiality. And apparently the way he was found, I guess that this is ill, because we didn't get a lot of details of how he was found, right? Because they said that he was discovered at night having quote unquote sexual intercourse with this horse. But I find it interesting the way they described it, because you know how like nowadays they were like, we always thought like, you know, going all the way, hitting a home run was sex, right? But now we really talk about how like, you know, mutual masturbation or oral sex, like that also counts as sex. So they're saying that I think he was touching a horse's dick in a field.
Okay.
And that's just a misdemeanor, man. You can only get probation for that. And that's what they said here. The cop that arrested him, you know, even his initial crimes of molesting a horse was a misdemeanor, and those would have just been a summons and release. So, you know, we know who these people are, and we need to have the tools in order to keep them off the street to ensure community safety as a whole. So even when he was in custody, so he just jumped over a fence and he made a run for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess you just get a don't fuck any more horses and get out of here.
I guess it's more like, or it's the other way. I mean, like, you're lucky you didn't penetrate that horse.
These horses need like
thankfully, they need you like just touched its dick.
They need like a nay two moment, and they need to be like, stop fucking us.
Yeah. Although, or they need to be able to tell us that they like it.
As we have seen from the movie Zoo, it could be a horse's ultimate revenge as well. So according to Durango Police Chief Bob Brammer, he just happened to be driving around the area. That's when he noticed Barrett Lesko, that's the man's last name, when he noticed him running all around the river in his boxer shorts. And he says, that's really what attracted my attention to him, because, you know, you don't see half-naked people running through their woods, in their boxer shorts. Not all the time. And then, of course, they ran through the river a couple of times, and then out of the middle of the river, they had enough officers there that finally surrounded him. This was a scene.
I'm glad they did it. I'm glad we got him.
A 26-minute scene out of Looney Tunes, but if like somebody
like cops all like that's also I do the only thing I appreciated him is that he got cops all wet.
That is kind of
nice.
Hard.
That's a long day. You have to go back and get all your uniforms. You have to go back. Get a new uniform. You got to do all of this shit because, honest, when it comes down to it, you can't just be, this isn't a Chippendales calendar.
No. You know? And I would say the jail itself is kind of funny here because the jail didn't really know that this dude escaped until staff members discovered inmate Jonah Barrett Lesko was missing from the rec yard area. And according to the release, that was when they're like, oh no, I think we lost the horse fucker. And if you're in prison, if you're a jail, and you have to go and you're a jail guard and you have to go to your warden and you say, warden, I am so sorry, but we need to have a community alert because the horse fucker is out. The horse fucker is free.
It's been like, who'd you let out?
How'd you let horse fucker out again? How did you do that?
We weren't aware of the horse fucker's need for freedom. But honestly, when it came down to it, we should have, because of his admiration for the free horses and the stallions. Oh. He might have viewed himself as a stallion.
He may have. He may have a huge ding-dong.
Maybe he
Who
was
knows?
Just eating. No, you see you can see it. Look at the picture. It's actually kind of, I actually don't know how he fucks a horse with such a tiny dick.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because the river's cold.
Yeah, I think the river's cold. Let's give him a little bit of credit.
This is,
I mean,
weird,
or not,
because
he's a horse fucker, but.
Can I float this? What if, in a way, all right, so if he's just arrested for molesting a horse, right, we're here again.
Sure.
Is it a crime?
Yes.
To do cunnilingus on a horse. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yes.
It's just like, of all of the things you could do.
Yes.
Like, you could start a Twitch stream.
I'm not saying any other yes.
You could go to community college.
Yeah.
You could, so many ways, too many different things. You could become a puzzle person. Look at quarantine. Sure. Look what that did. But the idea of, like, you go out there and be like, man, oh man, I gotta go down on a horse tonight.
Well, technically, horses are so tall, you go up on them. So according to, speaking of Downs, according to Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Pat Downs, he said that Barrett Lesko, so he was in the rec yard.
Ooh, Pat Downs. That's like a fun little frisking, like, pun for him. Isn't that fun?
Pat Downs. That's a great fucking point, Henry.
Yeah.
That's funny, because he pat downs people.
Yeah, so he's a bastard.
He said, well, he can be. He said there's a video of him going up a wall and then using his feet on one side and back on the other side. It appears he got out of a small hole in the upper fenced-in area of rec yard, much like Billy the Kid. That's what I was thinking. And they say it's been quite some time since there's been an escape from La Plata County Jail. But you know, I mean, again, as we've talked about, when it comes to Billy the Kid, the fact he got out, I don't think he should be charged with escape. They're the ones who didn't fucking fix the hole.
Yeah, also, you know, he really wanted to get out. He didn't want to be guilty for fucking the horse. I feel like maybe it was a dalliance that had gone too far and that he might have regretted some of his actions the previous time. And maybe he really needs to think about what makes him ejaculate.
Yeah.
And really sit and evaluate, because he was probably very concerned about the charges of bestiality and what it would do for his employment future. I feel like it might affect his standing. It might affect his CV.
Yeah.
And like, I see a gap in your work here. What was that? Oh, that's when I was in jail for not even fucking a horse, eating its pussy.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So he was released on bond, but arrested again on suspicion of several burglaries, including stealing six bicycles which totaled $13,000.
And what a asshole. Now I'm mad. That's a crime I fucking hate. That makes me mad.
Mm-hmm. He also broke into some parked cars and shoplifted from stores, which reminds me, when I was walking in OKC, a surprisingly strange little downtown area as well,
it was just weird.
a big fella pushing a bicycle saying, another day, but it was like 1:30 in the morning. He obviously just stole that bike and he was going to go sell it. It looked like a really piece of junk, but I'm sure he could get something for it.
OKC is a beautiful place to maybe not go.
So he pleaded guilty August 13th to felony burglary and possession of burglary tools, as Henry said. But again, it really is mostly about the horse fucking.
I think that's really what gets the headlines.
But also, in kind of a good news, just to wrap it up here, Brammer, again, that was one of the arresting officers. He says, my uniform is clean. I just ran it through the washing machine, and so it's good to go.
Yeah, I was concerned.
Yep. He says,
I was so fucking concerned.
Mm-hmm. He said, I don't know if my boots will dry by then, but we'll see. So isn't that nice?
All right, well, great.
All right, well.
Well, we got a couple of choice stories here that we could go with. One thing that I will briefly talk about, the one thing I want to briefly touch upon is the story of Anjali.
Oh, my goodness.
This woman, the artist formerly known as Angelia Schultz. Now, Anjali, she went to YouTube itself, straight to the horse's mouth, to make sure that we know that this woman, who actually received the most Democratic votes when she ran in 2014 as the South Dakota Secretary of State.
Oh,
which
you
did not know
her.
That you could run for. 30% of the vote she got.
Good for her, South Dakota. Okay.
She's a former intelligence officer, which makes quite a bit of sense of why she's doing what she's doing. God knows. And she's got some undisclosed illness that has left her wheelchair bound, which some people doubt on the internet.
Really?
She says,
the only way to prove it You got to go with the naked gun method. You got to grab him.
You get out of this chair.
Get out of this chair.
You get out of this chair.
And if she even comes close to taking one step, we know she's a liar.
Yep. But this one is no way a liar, because she says that she went through a tunnel after she met two people. I believe their name was, it was like Wallace and Trish. Walter
what?
And Trish.
Those aren't alien names. Met.
No, no, but they were alien affiliated. She said that she met a couple at a coffee shop in Southern California.
Okay.
Now, Anjali, she got this name from the aliens. They gave her a name. Now, Wallace and Trish, I don't remember their names. It's either Walter or Wallace, someone. It's this couple, this unknown couple that she met at a coffee shop. They said that they had successfully mined a tunnel into an alien underground base in the Mojave Desert. And so she said, sure, I'll go. And on January 21st, 2018, Marcus's birthday.
No kidding.
He went out there and she said she met a Nordic alien and a gray that she says is not organic in a way that we could possibly understand. And she said the Nordic was alabaster skin was so incredible. You couldn't help but want to touch and stroke it. She wanted to stroke it and how wonderful it is. She was led into...
Do we know that she didn't find these guys off of like meatballs.com, like a dating site where we'll meet you in the Mojave Desert? We'll meet you there. You want a gray and a tall white? Okay,
She definitely went on cacti date. Where she just met. It's a desert dweller dating based app. And it's incredible. Yeah. You meet all sorts of drifters. It's how most of the insurrection was planned.
The desert is dry, but the pussies are wet.
And
Welcome to cacti date.
She also met an 8-foot tall lavender praying mantis in this office. And basically what they said is they gave her a new name.
Okay.
You can look at all of her shit. She actually was on Reddit as her username is Space Between Us. You should look at this. You should watch her self-regulated press conference. I watched all hour and 20 minutes of it.
Good.
She is so brave to come forward with this information. It's so difficult for someone to bear, but she knows the truth, which is that the U.S. government and the aliens have been working together closely, but they're afraid to tell the American people because they're afraid that they're going to ruin. Yeah, the number one, we're difficult to work with.
Sure.
Because we're warlike apes, right? And number two, that we're skittish and ignorant. So there's certain parts of intergalactic and interdimensional thought that we simply cannot handle.
Sure.
And number three, we're gross.
Well, all of those things do check out. Is it possible, being that she's a retired intelligence officer, that this is all lies and misinformation and disinformation?
Kissel,
because as we talked about, yes, it's possible.
What?
She looks a little bit like a not funny Lily Tomlin. She's kind of pretty.
No, she actually, you should check her acting reels. She did a bit of acting and she has, I believe the internet, and I don't mean to be too inappropriate here, but I believe the internet says she possesses a set of righteous mommy milkers that is display more so on her reel.
I don't want to hear about breast milk ever again.
Oh, wait.
Holden McNeely has managed to take the nectar of life and make it disgusting as he drinks it, as opposed to his daughter, who desperately needs it for growth.
Yeah. Keep her thin. That's what he said. Keep her thin for LA, for casting.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
But Anjali, she has so much to say and so much to give because she is the bridge between us and the higher beings.
This woman.
She's going to help. Oh, yes. And she is now helping work out she's going at a later date. Come forward with a more clear transmission of what the higher beings are telling her and the advice that they can give to us to help us evolve. And a lot of it's got to do with her book.
What's the book?
Yes, it's called The Nameless, Book One by Angelia Schultz, if you look at it. And now this is the description of it. Have you ever felt as if you were meant for something more than your life has become?
Nah.
What if everything you thought you knew about who you are and who your family is vanished in an instant? Faced with options and an unlimited power, who would you allow yourself to become? This is Satya's story.
Okay, well,
yeah, she's just saying it's allegorical, number one.
Okay.
It is, it's 306 pages. That's a big book.
That is a big book of nothing. That is a lot of total nonsense to scribble down.
But she says she is offering her book for free. Because she will not be caught in the trap saying that she's trying to build some brand or she's trying to make the just, you know, try to increase. Because you know how these stories, they always lead to huge money.
I agree. Well, if you can't handle me at my Marianne Williamson, then you don't deserve me at my Anjali. Anjali.
And Anjali can't wait to dispel these secrets. But I would say go ahead if you really like to feel like I don't know. You know, I like the love watching Chandler's. I love watching all of this kind of stuff. She is interesting. Her crew is a very it's a fun story.
Well, the nice thing is, obviously, your mother's
the UFO community is pissed about it though, because they feel that it discredits all of the advances that we've made, which, yeah, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, but you still have to have fun with the UFO community. You're always going to have those characters that you can't get rid of. All of the fun B-team actors. You can't get rid of
grifters. Grifters are what bring people to the story. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of fun. But also, I think it does, the fact that she was a former employee of the DIA, whose job was, I think the word that she used for her job was like informational services. And she said, like, she does this thing. She swore again and again, we've never used anything domestically. This is not a domestic branch of the CIA. Mm-hmm. We used specific intelligence to influence the mind of foreign leaders to help them make decisions. We need to help them make decisions that help us. That's the whole thing. We're helping. It's the CIA and the DIA. They just give and they influence. That's it. We should thank them.
Yes, threatening somebody with their very livelihood or perhaps their family or exposing them.
Do you remember they outed
that
person? What was that? They outed that
Valerie Plame back in the day. Also, just a quick top hat plug. Thanks so much for listening to my interview with John Curicow. He was a CIA whistleblower who blew the whistle on torture, and it was his story. When the CIA wants you gone, it is a scary group of people to be against.
And I started listening to that interview, and it is really interesting because, number one, the problem is that as a CIA dude, you are a paid, trained grifter, right? So your grift is 15 feet deep. When you work for the CIA, you have to figure out. So when you watch him do it, so as a person that is then defecting from the CIA, it is very interesting because I do believe their tactics that the CIA have trained him to do are all in there too. Like the idea of you do mix truth and fiction. You do all of these things to kind of make sure, like, let's slide around, because the stuff I'm saying that is true is stuff that could get me killed.
Well, and of course, we talk about a little later in that interview, we talk about how he used some tactics to survive prison, which the CIA, although they did place him in there, also provided him the skills to survive. Because believe it or not, prison politics, they're a little strange. Anyway. Speaking of failed,
I can't fucking even imagine. So yeah, look up Anjali's press conference if you're feeling like that. Also, there's new footage of a Loch Ness monster, which unfortunately during the Q&A, someone asked us if we could.
Yes, and you, Mr. Zabrowski, and dare I say, Mr. Parks, disparaged the great Loch Ness monster, even though it keeps an entire country afloat.
I don't disparage fandom of the Loch Ness monster, but I believe that we should let it go to rest. We should let it go. But now we got this new footage of the Loch Ness Monster.
See?
You can look it up. I was looking at the Australian 7 News. A man by the name of Richard Maver, he found of his big old fish.
Woo-wee.
He's got a big old fish. Who knows what that is? It might just be a big fish, but it's a big floppy looking fish.
You know what though? I'll take it if it's a big fish. It's still cool. If it's a big fish, I'll be like, that's a huge fucking fish. And yes, I will be excited. Our hearts are with the people of Australia, by the way. My goodness gracious, the crackdowns are hard.
Rise from your grave.
Okay. Well, speaking of failed actors, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we talked about this, I think maybe last episode or two episodes ago. Haunted houses are scary because of the human element.
That's my favorite part. I love it when you don't really know who you're in there with. Like sometimes you find out like it's just a bunch, because, you know, Halloween Horror Nights, it's a lot of professional actors.
Professional. Right? That's the creme de creme.
But I miss sometimes, like, you know, when my buddies had the Atlanta zombie apocalypse, where it'd be a mixture of like normal people and then a couple would be like, yeah, that's why we pick up some people from the highway, because they don't mind getting shot in the nuts with a paintball. You're like, well, that's what you get. That's two cups.
Well, you mentioned Halloween Horror Nights. That's professional. I'm mentioning a haunted house in the Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds in Ohio. That's where an 11-year-old boy, he wanted to go have a scary time with his fam, was accidentally stabbed. So with Halloween coming up, we all know that people are going to start going out to these haunted houses. This haunted house promised, quote, to provide a uniquely terrifying experience. Dare I say, it did. Karen Bednarski, that's the boy's mom, they said they were just walking through this this haunted house, and apparently it had seven floors of hell, which is pretty cool. It's called Floors of Hell, although it doesn't look like, it looks like it's only one floor. So I don't know where the seven floors are. But there was an actor.
I think that's just a term because of the seven. I think there's seven levels of hell. I forget where it was. There are where the levels of hell are. That's from Dante's Inferno.
Oh, okay. Kind of like a burrito themed thing there.
Yeah, it's about a dip.
So there was a 22-year-old actor. His name was Christopher Pogoleski. Pogazelski.
No, that's nine circles of hell. I don't know where they get the seven layers of hell.
It's Ohio. So Christopher Pogazelski. 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 It's Polish.
Yeah, hey, man. Hey, wait, Pogazelski.
Yeah,
Pogazelski. I could say that, Pogazelski.
Pogazelski. He approached the mom and the boy trying to scare them. However, they didn't know the knife he carried was freaking real.
You know that they might have had a conversation about this. Being like, Pogazelski, do we really need to have a real knife? And he's just like, are we trying to scare people or not? We trying to do this? Come out you with the dull knife? People tell. These kids could know. They don't.
No, and it's horrifying. So according to Bednarski, again, that's the mom of the kid, she says he was scraping the knife on the ground and playing around with them. And my son said to him, I'm not afraid. Your knife is fake. So, dare I say the kid.
See? Ask for it. Yeah. Fucking ask for it.
Oh, so once the kid said, your knife is fake. Now, this is going to trigger a Polish person because they don't like to be mocked by anyone smaller than them. And he said, oh, yeah, you think it's fake? And then that's when he started poking at the kid's feet. So this is what the guy says. So the guy's like, so the man was like, oh, yeah, it's real. Trust me. And that's when he started poking at his feet multiple times he stabbed him.
That's a haunted house.
Oh, man. Police said Pogazelski.
I think he'd get shut down.
Yeah, he's been charged with negligent assault, a third-degree misdemeanor.
Yeah.
They did confiscate the knife, and they did say using the knife was not a good idea.
Oh, come on. I'm seeing this fucking cut. He barely cut his toe. Come on, man.
Well, he was fired.
No, I understand it's a crime. I understand that.
Rodney Geffert, he's the president of Night Scream Entertainment. They own the attraction. They have apologized, quote, nonstop.
Also, apparently, Pogazelski's mother, whose knife it belonged to, is his mother's knife. She's wanted it back. He called her, she wants the knife back because he just borrowed it from her.
Wow. It's actually a huge knife. And it's very scary.
They are really throwing him under the bus, too. According to the head of the park, he's basically saying, none of our actors use anything like that. It is against park policy. He got it out without our knowledge. All right, it's our fault.
It's probably true because it's a massive, massive real knife. According to the head again, Rodney Geffert, he says it wasn't intentional. And he also says, kind of defending the actor a little bit, air quotes actor, because obviously he's not an actor because he really did stab this person. So that's different than acting. He says the actor stayed by the boy's side the whole time. So if you're a boy and you just got stabbed in a haunted house, it's like, thing you want.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, that's how, like, I remember this one time, like, Jackie and I used to do this, like, shadow boxing game, like, in the school. I've told the story before. And I accidentally punched her in the face. And, you know, like, when you accidentally do that as an older brother, so when you hurt your sibling and you go like, I'm sorry, don't cry. I can see him stabbing the kid in the toe and being like, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, but apparently they stayed there. He said, the actor straight up said, that group had a great time. But Bednarski said that they stayed because she not only wanted to make her son happy after a traumatic experience, but she also wanted to make sure no other incidences would surface at the park. So they stayed. She got stabbed in the foot, and then he continued to be the place.
It's a cool kid. He is a cool kid. Yeah, everyone's
he's
going to
grow
like,
up loving Halloween.
I hope so. I hope this doesn't ruin it for him. Yeah, everyone is basically like, I'm not sure why he used a real knife and not a rubber prop.
It was fucking stupid.
Yeah, they said they've never had any incidents like it. And to their credit, and we have to love our Halloween haunts, for 21 years, The Seven Floors of Hell has been renowned for its gore, and it has rated among the wickedest haunted houses in America.
Oh, so, now I want to go.
Yeah, it sounds great, but, you know, it definitely does lead you to wonder what the interview process is like. I say just a small background check might be able to help. Because, yeah, it's not the biggest cut I've ever seen. But, again, the idea is horrifying that the man had a real knife because he could have easily just stabbed it in somebody's guts.
It's and very sad. Horrible. What are you going to do? Indeed. But they didn't, right?
They didn't. No, he just stabbed his little toe, yep. Which is, you know, I guess a life lesson for all of us. Good. Well, this still next story, good. This is the story I mean, was alluding
this
to
is
earlier.
The story that was built. This is built for us.
Yeah, and I want,
like,
Henry,
this story
I
has been
you,
waiting for us.
Yeah, I actually want you to take the lead on this one for sure, because I didn't. This to me is like more mystical or magical than mm-hmm. UFOs or even, I don't know if you've noticed, but I was watching the NFL yesterday and Dune is everywhere. They led NFL. They led it with the fear quote, which we have here in the office. Dune is very kind of mystical.
They're trying
and
to
cool.
force it down people's throats. And I don't know if it's going to take. I don't know if the football fans are really the ones we need to reach out to here.
Well, you never know. There's a lot of diversity within the football community. It's a wonderful
it's
sport.
True. So it's true.
This, however, is something that I never thought I would ever read. And Henry, please take the headline of this wonderful Daily Star article.
I gladly will. Man spends 2 years pooing out of penis and ejaculating semen from his bum. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this? A man ejaculated. No, I just love this term. Apparently this man ejaculated, quote unquote, a substantial amount of semen from his bum, and he passed fecal matters through his penis.
Okay, so this is a 33-year-old fella. Now, Henry, how did he do this? Because I didn't think it was possible.
I don't know. So now this 33-year-old still hasn't been named. He apparently started with his balls got, and I'm not even, this is, again, I'm trying not even to even do this in a funny tone, because this is just, this is science.
This is, and it's medical science, and this man has done nothing wrong.
No.
Other than be shits out of his dick.
He comes
out of his butthole.
He was just cursed by a witch. Now, apparently he was suffering testicle pain because his balls kept getting, and I'm, again, this is just science. His balls got swollen with farts, right? So his balls got swollen with flatulent gas, and it was coming out of his dick, right?
How?
And he was getting high.
The nice thing is, Henry, you can't drown. He's got a flotation device there.
He does. All right. Yeah. Now, the bloke was, this is British. So the bloke, he was passing gas in his urine, which is called a pneumateria, apparently, which is also difficult. But they said that while he was pissing sometimes as well, so his dick would fart and then his dick would shit because he urinated fecal matter, which is also got it, which is a thing that happens enough that it has a name called fecaloria. And then they noticed that he was pissing and coming out of his butt, that like pee and cum.
Uh-huh.
I guess when he was having sex. This is also true.
So he shat in
moment. I'm just pulled out my headphones just because, like, it's just this funny. It's just such a cartoon. It's a Looney Tune thing. So he'd be having sex. And then when he came, it would come out of his butt.
But, okay, would he not then also? Okay, so the cum was not shit. It was just piss. So I'm thinking here, he would. But if he was into like water sports, it would not be water. It would just be liquid shit.
Liquid shit was coming out of his dick.
So he would come. So if she was like, come on my face. Then he would sit on.
He would have to turn around. He'd have to pull out, turn around, jerk at himself off until finally he would come out of his butt.
So this man, now, do we know what kind of life he was able to live? Because it seems like this only happened to him when he was 31, and now he's 33. I would prefer if I, just what a day. Like, what a day when all of a sudden you fart and you're like, but where did it go? And then all you feel your ball bag and your ball bag is like, why is it filling up like a
yeah, why does it
Christmas
hurt? Why
balloon?
Am I
What's
farting out of the tip of my dick like I'm some kind of perverse, like, Playboy cartoon who's come to life?
Right. And then next thing you know, you go and you take a big dump, and then you obviously sometimes you do take a look depending on how, you know, well you think you did. And then it's nothing but cum. It's just got to be a day. And then who do you tell? Do you call your girlfriend or your wife or your parents? You can't call your friends because you're just immediate, like, no friend. Like, I can't be like, Henry, bro, I just need you to come over here. I'm coming out of my ass, because you'll die laughing.
Oh,
like the,
Kissel,
like the,
I got a fucking, oh, I got this other text. I got to move. Yeah, I got to go.
I actually have a car crash planned in 15 minutes. I'm going to crash my car
into a wall.
Oh, yeah,
I actually have to commit suicide
so
tonight.
Sorry.
So this is how it went down, right? When he said they went, they found that he had swollen testicles and a urinary tract infection, of course, because he had shit coming through his dick, right? And they found this gas-filled structure inside of his balls. And basically, they said, this is the key here. So they found a thing called the fistula, an abnormal passageway between his urethra and his rectum. So the shit and cum were getting switched up in this canal that had been created accidentally. They said they got it fixed, right? They have now since fixed it.
Rector, but apparently, darn near took her to Knott's Berry Farm.
I mean, you wish.
Or not Scary Farm, which I wanted to go to this year. Yes.
I can't wait. So apparently where this happened was that he was in a 3-week coma 2 years ago following a cocaine and PCP overdose. And at this time he was fitted with a catheter and they fucked up the catheter.
No.
And poked a hole in his urethra and into his rectal area.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Well, I'm going to have to say, doctors, don't do that.
They also are calling it antegrade ejaculation. That's the scientific term for it.
For coming out of your butt. Okay. So, yeah, the physicians, this is according to, like, everyone, they say the physician should note other potential risks, such as urethral injuries. This case may not only highlight a rare complication of catheter use, but also emphasizes the importance of provider mindfulness when utilizing seemingly benign therapies, such as Foley catheters. So it looks like the Foley catheter company, they've got some explaining to do.
They
because
do.
Your catheter made me shit out my dick and come out my butt, and I'm just gonna need the president to sit down and talk with me as to why that happened.
You know what is also true? I never want the "I drink your milkshake" like scenario to happen inside of me when someone threads a thing. Cause that's what it kind of feels like. It feels like a jealous man, jealous of poop, like went through a dick to go steal poop. Like he was like, I'll get the poop out of the dick. That's what I want. That's what I want. Like it's a mad scientist nurse.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Well,
anyway,
you know, hey, what are you going to do? When it comes down to it, life's hard enough as it is. And if you're coming out of your butt, the most you can do is smile about it.
Stranger than fiction, isn't it? Isn't life sometimes stranger than fiction?
It is.
All right. Well, just lastly here, before we get to Hero of the Week, be very careful when it comes to these butt lifts. Do not get a Brazilian butt lift unless you are in Brazil, I guess.
No, just don't. Get a butt lift. Leave
your butt
alone.
Your butt's fine.
Put
or you can do the hard work and do the leg stuff, or just
squats.
You'll find somebody.
Some squats.
You can go to pancakes.com and you'll find a bunch of people who love a flat butt. You can do anything with anybody. Just whatever.
You could fake it, I guess, but also don't lie about it. We like all types of structures.
Everyone likes all types of
there's a lid for every pot.
Absolutely, there is. I'm not sure about the man who comes out of his asshole. And
no, I mean, he's just got
shit, but
he has been cursed. He was cursed.
Yeah, that really is Shrek levels of curse.
I feel very bad for him.
Yeah, I do too. But anyway, a mother and a daughter, they have been arrested in Encino, that's in California, because they have led to a woman's death after they gave her a botched Brazilian butt lift. Do not do this. Two women have been arrested after the botched Brazilian butt lift was conducted inside a private Encino home. This is a massive surgery. Never go to somebody's house.
House. Never
to get
go
a
to
surgery.
Somebody's house. I don't even go to somebody's house to get a haircut.
No. So her name was Carissa Rajpa, and this was her third procedure, and this was in October of 2019. She died from acute respiratory failure, which is the thing that we hear over and over again. There was somebody, I believe it was Philadelphia, who was giving butt augmentations and breast augmentations.
Yes.
And it leads to respiratory failure because of the silicone injections.
Yes.
So according to the LAPD, this cosmetic procedure involved injecting an uncontained liquid silicone substance directly into the buttocks, aka ace, to make the buttocks look fuller. They go on to say the consequences of injecting uncontained silicone into the body is that it can enter the bloodstream and create embolisms, which of course can result in illness and death.
Yes.
Notice that when you see a breast implant, it's in a contained package. They don't just inject you with random silicone or whatever the substance is they use in there now. So it's 51-year-old Libby Adame and her daughter Alicia Gomez. They have been charged, and basically they're being charged with being unlicensed providers. And
I just think that's too kind of a term.
Yeah.
Like unlicensed provider. You know, like this idea of like that's like it's all that legal shit. It's like the guy who's saying that that it's a fucking misdemeanor just to molest a horse.
No, the big mistake was him getting the officer's pants wet. So yeah. According to Deputy Chief Alan Hamilton, he said they pass themselves off like they have skill or expertise to do surgeries on human bodies, but it is not the case.
No.
So be very
Never
careful.
Just let two people, never let an influencer do surgery on you.
Yeah. And they took a bunch of people's cash. So who knows how many people. They say there could be dozens or hundreds of victims. There's just a bunch of people with random ass silicone shaking around in their butt. And it doesn't just naturally form a perfect curved butt. It's probably like all weird and, oh, just don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah, because it'll just be bumpy.
So
I don't get
Hamilton,
butt implants. That's the thing I just don't understand.
This is my question to you, Henry. Well, you know, the sexual norms that to women are constantly being thrown at them, because in the 80s, it was no butt, big tits, no tummy.
Yeah.
And then in the 90s, it kind of got a little bit of both. And now it's like no tits, huge, but whatever. Just be who you are. You're beautiful.
Yes, do what you got to be beautiful.
But my question here is, are these people potential serial killers? Because according to Hamilton, that's the detective, he says some of these victims may not have survived these procedures, and that's what we're looking into now. So if they're injecting dozens of people, potentially hundreds of people, with silicone in their ass, they literally could have
they could.
It's insane.
Oh, yes. It's because they don't care. This is we see this time and time again. Like, well, that one cult, you remember that, like, barely, vaguely a cult, where the guys were all obsessed with the bodybuilders, and they made their balls fucking huge, then like got really, really big, and then they all just, like, a lot of them died, got second died from it. I don't know what the hell happens. I don't know why people. I know that it's body dysmorphia. Like, I know that it's like an actual, like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
I guess it is partly. It is a mental illness. Like this idea
Absolutely.
That you see something in the mirror that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And like you get caught in this trap thinking that your butt needs to look a certain way. But man, again, most people will just fucking, if they like the top or like any of the rest of you, they're just going to take the butt that you got.
And we talk about body dysmorphia often from the female perspective, but I watch a lot of weightlifting documentaries.
Yes.
Don't so much weightlift myself, but it is.
Wait, I like to watch
dysmorphia.
Them do it.
Yes, but it is body dysmorphia personified, because they'll be like,
oh, yes.
Look at this calf. Oh, I'm such a. And it's like, it's huge.
It's huge.
You're strong, I promise you. According to Dr. AJ Khalil, that's a board certified physician, they say, I was completely terrified. I mean, it's a nightmare come true. It's unsafe. It's illegal. And these people are going to have to deal with the consequences. They killed a patient. As we were talking about, when it comes to sexual, whatever, physical beauty norms, apparently in the U.S., Brazilian butt lifts are up 77% over the last few years. These women, it was pure cash only.
It's got to feel weird to sit on.
Yeah, though, and absolutely, man, I would never fuck with my butt.
I don't
I
leave
it
my butt
all
alone.
The time. I need my butt to be structurally stable.
It just has to be.
If I can't sit,
what would we do? It's half our life.
I can't think about it. Anymore.
It'd be like if we lost our throats.
I would rather lose my throat than not be able to sit on my butt.
Yeah. That's facts.
If you know anyone that had this procedure, reach out and be like, yeah, my friend died because they went to go do this. And believe it or not, it's not good.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good. And they are not heroes of the week.
They are not heroes of the week. All right. Well, let's do hero of the week before we get to some emails. This week's hero, obviously, people have been devastated from these wildfires. As I was driving from Sacramento to LA, as a matter of fact, I had a few hours of sunlight, and I must say, unbelievably beautiful. But it's fire country. And, you know, it was crazy. I was talking to my driver about that.
It is. Oh, yeah. No, we burst into flames every year.
It's insane. A man has delivered and donated RVs to wildlife victims, and now 95 families have a place to stay.
RVs. I thought you said Arby's. And I was like, this is the year? They're like, oh, somebody just got a bunch of Arby's?
Well, that may have made the list, too. Although Arby's, I think it's gone a little downhill. Don't tell them.
We know
also,
this. We know this.
Oh, my God, don't even get me going. They have their, you know, oh, now I am going. Arby's, we have the bread. Because have you seen the roast beef sandwich that they fucking advertise?
All bread.
It's all bread. Oh, don't even get me going. Anyway. Woody Faircloth, he runs a nonprofit called emergencyrv.org that pairs folks who are willing to donate their campers to a worthy cause. So to date, Faircloth, often with his 9-year-old daughter, Luna, has delivered 95 motorhomes to California area wildlife victims who otherwise, again, would be freaking homeless. Faircloth first got the idea in 2018, he is a Colorado-based father who turned on the news coverage to see a deadly fire that incinerated 153,000 acres and destroyed hundreds of homes. That was during Thanksgiving week of 2018. He said, I just can't sit here and let this happen. So he started this program, and it really is incredible. This is what he told Denver 7 News. He says, we were watching some of what's going on out there and talking about what we can do to help. And then he says, and I told my daughter what the idea was, and she was 100% on board. She said, God and Santa Claus would really be proud of us for this. So talk about using two mythical creatures for good, God and Santa Claus. So Faircloth launched a GoFundMe campaign to finance the first RV, and it's been going ever since then. So it is a wonderful thing, as again, people are struggling out there. And so
they really are.
For the past 2 months, Faircloth and Luna have made 40-hour round trips from Denver to Colorado. And they're helping out a lot of people. And it's kind of a cute story between a father and a daughter.
Really nice.
Yes, hero of the week, indeed. Well-deserved, Mr. Faircloth and your daughter, Luna.
Good work. Now it's time for some listener emails.
All right.
Now we got some. Do you want more breast milk ones? Or more cryptid ones, because we got some good breast milk ones.
Okay.
We got some good cryptid ones. I'm really excited for them because this one here,
can we do one of both? As long as it's not a cryptid with breast milk. Do cryptids have breast milk? Okay.
I don't know. I'll just do one of both. But I'm going to read this one first.
Great.
Now, after listening to 2 weeks of listening to you gentlemen joke about Holden drinking breast milk, I feel I'm going to share with you my personal story.
Oh, God. Okay. Not everything needs a defender. Not every.
No, this is not that necessarily. A few years ago, after the birth of my second son, my wife was having problems with a clogged milk duct. After several days of trying to pump it out and trying to massage it out, she was desperate. She asked me to help by having me suck it out. Being a loving husband and wanting my wife's suffering to end, I agreed. So after a while of massage and sucking, I was able to free the blockage, and the milk flowed forth as a sweet, warm, gentle torrent.
Okay.
What followed, though, was perhaps the most passionate night of lovemaking we've ever had. However, what followed was perhaps the worst night of my life. An hour or so after, a rumbling began in my stomach. This quickly turned into a full-on seismic event in my guts. A war began inside me between the microbiology in my guts and the prebiotic in my wife's milk.
Oh,
for the next 12 hours, I literally shit my guts out because my anus prolapsed.
Oh my God.
The things that came out of me, Satan himself would consider a sin. I have recovered from this incident, but to this day, if I see a lactating breast, I get an instant chubby as well as having my asshole quiver.
You know,
Ben is right.
All right.
Ben is right. Leave the milk for the babies.
Hey, all right. Finally, I get called correct on something. Wow. Well, I'm so happy that you helped out your wife, and I'm sure it was quite passionate. But
there's another story that I wanted to read that I'll just go over quickly, which is a woman didn't realize she was taking medication that made her lactate. And so she was having a drunk hookup and something happened and a squirt of milk came out of her tit as they were hooking up. And the guy she was with was like, "Nah, I'm fucking into it." And he just started sucking on it and sucking on it all night and drinking as much milk as he could get out of it while they had sex.
You know what? You got to roll with it. You got to roll with it. I can't. Good for him. Good for him.
Here is just a possible single-use cryptid. We got great single-use cryptid emails that I'm going to read again. I'm going to read more of these. I'm going to save these because these are great. I was probably around 12 or 13 years old, sometime in the early 2000s. I grew up in a farm in the country, and we had a big barn a couple of hundred feet behind the house. On one side of the barn, my mom had a vegetable garden, and on the other sides were surrounded by tall redwood trees. We had two outdoor dogs, and my sister and I took turns with the chore of taking the dogs to their doghouses in the barn at night to sleep. So one night it was my turn, and I looked up the stairs for a little bit on my way to the barn. I always loved looking for shooting stars and satellites, which were much less common then. I saw what I thought was a particularly bright satellite streaking very quickly in a straight line across the sky. I was shocked at its speed. But then my mind was blown when I saw it pass between the tops of the redwood trees and out of sight. This was like 2001, so there's no drones. I stood stunned for a minute and continued walking to the barn to put my dogs to bed. As I came out of the barn, something moving caught my eye by my mom's vegetable garden. I walked closer and saw it clearly. A transparent, jiggling cube.
Ooh!
It was about a foot tall and a foot wide. Right? And jiggling like it was in a Bill Cosby Jell-O commercial. Right?
Interesting.
And as I got closer, it kind of stretched and jiggled in my direction. It filled me with so much fear that I ran screaming back to the house. I made the horrible mistake of telling my brother and sister what I saw, but of course they just laughed at me. They refused to go look at the jelly blob because Survivor was starting, and this was before DVRs. And I was too scared to look at it again. And I tried unsuccessfully to push it out of my fucking memory. Right? I've read many cryptid accounts, but I've never seen another account of someone seeing a jelly monster blob thing. Now, that is interesting. I do feel that.
Well, we talked about that, right?
Yes. That is very similar to the weird hairy cubes that John Tenney talked about that was reported in quarantine in
Detroit.
In Detroit. But I think that this is the type of shit. This is what you'd call like a probably, it might not be an intelligent creature, it might be like some form of plasma or some shit. Like, it might be like a type of thing that we just don't know what the hell it is. But I'm saying that most people aren't crazy when they see these weird anomalous things. We got several people who wrote emails about like weird ass fuck things that they are like, I saw it. It was in front of me. Was it weird? Yes. But I don't know. Maybe you're just seeing like what we talked about, like in the goblin universe concept, the ghost of a creature. Something that slipped through time.
Who knows? I'm still
thinking that things slipped through time, bro. Because fucking I keep slipping through time, man. And some people call it sleeping.
Yes, indeed. Blackout drunk is what that is referred to.
That was really
at
nice.
At least according to an old-timey David Talbot. Well, sometimes very it really good. Helps. Thank you so much for those fantastic emails. And thank you all so much for listening. We can't wait to see you on the road again.
We're going to come see you fucking ass. And, see your ass. Come to L.A. Come see our show in Halloween. It's going to be so good. The Hollywood Forever Cemetery, we're going to have so much fucking fun. We can't wait. Also, check out Spring Hill Jack Coffee, our beautiful Mothman blend. It's out there. Yes. Go get it. It's so delicious. Crack that whip on Alex. Make him work.
Make him work. Well,
and also,
live
your life every day. What? Like, man, I just got to get across this stream and I won't be a horse fucker. If you have that inspiration, right, you can do anything. Yeah. Knowing that if I just do this, I won't be labeled forever as a horse fucker, even if you are. Because then, you know, because the problem is once you're a horse fucker, it's hard to laugh. Because every time you laugh, everyone's going to be like, oh, you think that's funny, horse fucker? Yeah. Every single time.
Yeah.
And you got to love your freedom. And that's why when you know this, keep your freedom in mind. Every time you think, oh, I should get a bunch of burglary tools to break into a pen to go, like, eat a horse's pussy for some reason.
Sure.
You should just, I don't know. I think that you should take it out on some form of doll.
Yeah. Well, that's one strategy. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well out there. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Tell me, motherfucker. Oh,
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.